Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Remember, the quiet ones always have the darkest secrets. It's time to uncover them on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
Brian Koberger, we've been talking about him for quite some time, and well, we probably will be for the at least near future. One of the most legally intricate cases in recent history. The criminology PhD student accused of brutally murdering four University of Idaho students in 2022. From the groundbreaking use of investigative genetic genealogy to constitutional challenges and defense strategies, this is a case of a legal minefield, if you will. It's reshaping how evidence is presented and contested in courtrooms across the country. Joining us to discuss, defense attorney, former prosecutor Eric Faddis, who brings a unique perspective on both sides of the courtroom. Eric, with the defense fighting to exclude IgG evidence, that's the investigative genetic genealogy evidence, and trying to raise doubts about evidence contamination, what are the strongest arguments a defense team can make in a case with so much stacked against their client, especially the IgG stuff?
Yeah, that information is certainly damning for Koberger, but it's more vulnerable than say, you know, well-established investigative tool that's been used for decades and decades and decades, because this is relatively new. And so Koberger is trying to say, hey, look, this is not reliable and or it was sort of unfair the way the government went about it. And so if Koberger can get the DNA genetic evidence kicked, that would be a tremendous win, because that is something that physically ties like his body, his biology, to this crime scene. And they don't really have any other such evidence. And so if he were to prevail on that motion, could really change the game.
Do you feel that the defense of Koberger has a legitimate argument to have the IgG taken out? Obviously, it would be a big deal if it were removed from this case. It's a huge part of the evidence and one of the big pieces that does directly tie him to the crime scene. Why would they throw it out? I mean, it's one thing for an attorney to say, oh, it's junk science, it's this or it's that, and then you can actually look into it and go, no, it's really not. It's been used for quite a while, including by prosecutions and defenses, when it's convenient for either side. So to flat out make a blatant statement of it's junk science doesn't really, it seems to be a little overdramatic.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much weight that motion is going to carry with the judge, because what we're talking about is, you know, things that are really biological facts for the most part. And so certainly challenges can be made. Different interpretations can be taken from such an analysis. And defense can argue that. But to say that this is, you know, just complete garbage and shouldn't be let into a court, I think the court's going to look at it and say, hey, I think this has been considered in other courts and in other prosecutions, and we're not just going to throw the entire thing out. I think that really they're setting up some avenues for cross-examination and hopefully and probably to try to convince the public that, hey, this evidence isn't all what it's cracked up to be.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, to try and convince the general public about something. It's another thing to try and convince a court about something. They still have to get a jury for this. So right now it is in the court of public opinion. So I get why they're really trying to throw this out there. But again, not that people do much research on anything before making an opinion or thinking something's a fact, but there really isn't a strong argument saying that this is a bad thing. The defense is going to be arguing that it violates constitutional rights and privacy laws. That seems to be the main crux of the argument. Not that it's inaccurate or that this is junk science, even though it's a word they like to use, but what it really comes down to is, was this obtained legally? Ethically, could they obtain it the way that they did? Should they have obtained it the way that they did? Because it is kind of a wild west out there right now in terms of what you can glean and what you can't glean from certain things. But at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily say the science is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in looking at it, there was no sort of forced genetic samples. There was no, compelled provision of a person's biological material against their will that is not court ordered. You know, so it's not, it's, there isn't that level of unfairness that would strike me as, hey, we need to exclude this as evidence. Certainly, privacy issues are evolving, but I just don't see enough constitutional grounds to say, hey, that this was so violative of someone's privacy that we have to kick it out, especially when we look at how these samples were obtained and how this analysis is conducted.
Well, especially with this, because initially I believe it was garbage that they found it from Koberger's dad. And that's how you kind of narrow this field down to, okay, who genetically fits this profile? Then they actually took a swab of Koberger once they had him on hand, because they used that to match it to the sheath. Then they took a swab of Koberger to see if that directly matches the sheath. And surprise, it does. So it's kind of a double whammy against here. We already got the IgG saying, yeah, it puts us over here. And then the actual from Koberger saying, yeah, that's your guy. But they're going to argue that they could have never gotten to that place of swabbing Koberger and comparing it, because they should have never had the stuff to compare with to begin with, because that was gotten unconstitutionally or illegally or whatever. What kind of argument are they going to make that was illegal?
You know, in order to make a constitutional privacy argument, you have to say that Koberger's privacy rights were violated, not his dad's, not somebody else's. And so how is Koberger's privacy rights violated? We look at the Rex Hurlman serial killer case, and they did a similar genetic link by some trash that Rex Hurlman had discarded. Mm-hmm. And so when a person discards trash, they no longer have a reasonable expectation of privacy in that material. The government can get that and do what they want with it for the most part. And I just don't see any glaring red flags for Koberger himself in terms of his own privacy rights that would win the day at a motions hearing.
There has been hearings about Koberger several of the last days, two of them Thursday and Friday, open for the public to watch. And we've been bringing the audio and video here on the channel. But on Wednesday's hearing, that was private. It was a closed door hearing, something we haven't had a whole lot of in this case. What's going on behind closed doors in a case like this, where so much of it has been public? What sort of things do you think would be discussed that you wouldn't want the general public to know about?
Gosh, you know, it's a little hard to kind of speculate on that. Usually when we're talking about sensitive information that happens outside the view of the public, sometimes we're talking about privacy concerns of the alleged victims and of their families. Those things are sometimes discussed outside of public view. But when we're talking about Koberger and this case, it's hard for me to say. I would think that there are certain defense strategy issues that could come up that only the court should know about. That's a possible subject too, but it really there's some mystery to me in terms of why all the information was not publicly disclosed.
How difficult is it going to be for Koberger to prove his case if he doesn't have success with these motions? Obviously, a lot of it gets litigated before it actually goes to trial. And they're trying their best to get things thrown out. But if it's all there, the IgG, the DNA, the phone data, God knows what they have on a digital footprint, because we haven't been privy to that information yet. Like, what are his emails, his texts, his social media, his buying habits? All those things are going to play a big role in this. If none of that is thrown out, they're still just left with, he likes stars.
Pardon me. Yes. So far, it appears to be a pretty darn strong case against Koberger. They also have, his vehicle spotted in the area very close in time to when, excuse me, these stabbings occurred. And so if none of that evidence is eliminated, it's going to be really difficult. Do they have some alternative suspect they haven't told us about? You know, they have this halfway alibi, which is going to be, hey, do you believe this guy that he was driving around looking at the stars when there's all this other evidence. I'm just not sure that that alone could possibly win the day for Koberger.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.